Hey, welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are live at 615 Day here at Fordyce Center and Bellevue, and this hour presented by Music City Test Kitchen. Music City Test Kitchen is Nashville's newest nonprofit organization providing culinary arts education to the youth and aspiring culinary professionals in Music City. To learn more or to get involved with Music City Test Kitchen, contact Caleb at 319-561-0140. 615 Day here at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. There's a lot going on today. Presented by Social Furniture, we are raising money for Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. Silent auction items as well on the table include Pecorine and Philip Forsberg signed jerseys, Predators team signed sticks, signed Titans photos, Tim Corbin Vandy baseball memorabilia, and a signed Mookie Betts baseball as well. Those are just some of the items included in the silent auction. If you want to bid, text PREDS to 76278. That's PREDS to 76278 to bid on those silent auction items. We'll be out here all day long. You can come out. We're going to have a parking lot party from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Fordyce Center in Bellevue as well. Darren Donegan Chase and Stillman & Company will also be out here at the Fordyce Center in Bellevue. And we've got your opportunity for a center ice shot giveaway coming up later this afternoon as well. Now, you must be able to be here at Fordyce Center in Bellevue at 4:45. We've got a few slots to give away for this center ice shot giveaway where you can win a gift card. If you sink the shot from center ice at the Fordyce Center in Bellevue, and we've got a trivia question to get that done. Ryan Porth, what is today's trivia question that you can text into our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
Not only could you win a $100 gift card to Dunkin', you could also win opening night tickets for the Preds next season, the home opener. So, lot on the line later this evening out there at Fordyce Center in Bellevue for the center ice shot giveaway. So the trivia question is, against what team did Pecorine claim his first NHL win against?
What team did Pecorine claim his first NHL win against? If you know the answer to that, text into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and you'll have your opportunity to participate today in the Center Ice Shot giveaway with a gift card on the line, also opening night tickets to the Predators for next season as well. So send in those answers at 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Predators, Pecorine winning the King Clancy Award last night in the NHL. The first time he has won this award, given for contributions both on the ice and off the ice as well. If you watch Pecorine for any length of time, you know what sort of a humanitarian that he has been with the 365 Fund, his involvement with the Best Buddies program as well. Pecorine, about as good as you can ask for from a professional athlete, both on the ice and off the ice as well. I thought a really cool honor for him last night. We don't know what his playing future is going to look like, if that's going to be here, if it's going to be elsewhere, if he's just done altogether at this point. But I thought a really cool honor last night from Pecorine. PK Subban was nominated as well. But cool to see Pekka get it done, and obviously a guy who is very deserving of the King Clancy Award in the NHL.
Yeah, and a lot of guys who certainly, you know, live up to that, and in different markets, people will say, well, this guy, you know, there's a lot of great options. PK Subban is one, too, and we saw that here when he was here. But, I mean, Pecorine could be a multi-year winner of that thing for sure, right? So good for him. Certainly deserves a recognition and goes well above and beyond consistently.
So congratulations to him, and we're going to be out here all day long, and you'll have your opportunity for public skating sessions as well at 615 Day here at Fordyce Center, 3 to 4 p.m., $10 a person. All proceeds benefit the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. Joe, we had Tony Vitello on, Tennessee baseball coach, in the last segment. Number one, the guy's got a ton of energy. I think I could listen to him talk all day long. But number two, seems to be very confident. Talked about his pitching staff in particular. I mean, some guys don't even feel like they have a pulse on the mound and the pressure not getting to him. I think Vitello has done such a good job with this group, who obviously have not been in this situation before, of just kind of striking that balance of having fun with it while also making sure that you're locked in, you're ready to go on the field. I think Vitello has done just a masterful job with this group. And, you know, you kind of read off the odds earlier. I think Vanderbilt is the favorite heading into this tournament. Tennessee right behind Vanderbilt on the other side. I've been so impressed by what Vitello has been able to do with this program. And, look, I think they've got a good shot to pull this thing off. Ben on the text line asked, could we see Vanderbilt and Tennessee in the final? I think we absolutely could see Vanderbilt and Tennessee in the final in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's that would be something else, man. That would be amazing. It's a long way still to get to that, of course. You know, both teams have to get through what a regional is. You know, it's a four-team double elimination situation, and you're talking about really good teams. But is it possible? Yeah, I mean, this first game, as I texted back to Ben, is big. I think, you know, and Mike Wilson brought this up yesterday, I think it's very important for both teams. You know, if you lose that first game, that's really where now your pitching depth gets strained and tested. And both teams, kind of in different ways, could really benefit from winning the first game and staying on that track. Obviously, we know Vanderbilt. It's the two great starters, and right now they got two guys in the bullpen you feel really good about. Tennessee, they have more depth. They don't have that front line dominance, but I mean Hundley is their guy in the bullpen. He's going to get a lot of innings in Omaha, but you know you want to try to limit that. I mean, you can't overstrain the guy. Big first games for them, and certainly they have a chance. And, yes, Tony Vitello, as you said during the break, first of all, like, just great reference to old school there.
That's
like,
good.
That's big time. At a presser.
Well, the clip that Trey Wallace spliced together with it yesterday also was pretty great.
Well, that's when I got it. Like, yeah. When he said it that day, I'm like.
Well, when he said it, I had no clue what he's talking about. It's
like, I'm like, is this like some sort of like Omaha thing, you know, where you, I don't know.
Looking back on it, it makes total sense.
Yeah, so for anybody who doesn't get it, like, there's a part where Will Ferrell is, like, it's like Snoop Dogg, right, plays the party, and Will Ferrell is about to go streaking in the quad, and he's like, bring your green hat. You know, to one of Snoop's guys. Brilliant,
so
man.
That's what Tony Vitello wants the Vols fans to do, is bring the green hat.
And if they do win it, yes.
Yeah, could be fun.
The antics could be epic.
Could be fun. We mentioned yesterday this lineup for Tennessee, how well they're hitting right now heading into this tournament in Omaha. Now, a different situation. You've been at home for the regional and the super regional, and as we know, the ballpark at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, much more friendly to hitters than it is heading into this ballpark at TD Ameritrade coming up in Omaha. But as Mike Wilson said yesterday from the Knoxville News Sentinel on our show, he doesn't have a whole lot of concern about this lineup. Thinks they're built to hit in any ballpark. What do you think of that? How concerned would you be about maybe the long ball not being quite as much of an option for Tennessee when they head into this tournament starting against Virginia on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I guess I would flip around and say those pitchers are feeling good. Like, get us out of Lindsey Nelson.
That's true.
I mean, I know they love playing in front of those fans, and it's fun and all that. But, man, if you're a pitcher, like, and that's what Tony has said too, is, you know, like, it's part of the recruiting to that stadium, like, toughness is one of the things you need in pitchers, because they're going to give up some warning track fly balls and a lot of other places that go out in that place. So, I mean, it'll be better for them. Those guys still, you know, Liam Spence, the Australian leadoff hitter, you know, he gets on base, causes trouble. You know, Rucker's batting .331. Their K 282. I mean, they, you know, Gilbert's 275. I mean, you know, that hit doubles. If it doesn't get out, they'll take some doubles and score some runs. They're still, to me, going to be a very dangerous offensive team in that park.
Porth, our trivia question was: what was Pecorine's first career win? Who did he earn that win against? Do we have any correct answers on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com?
We have multiple correct answers, and if you've received a text from us, then you have been named a winner already. So appreciate everybody texting in. The correct answer of the Chicago Blackhawks.
The Chicago Blackhawks, the first career win for Pecorine. I know that makes Predators fans happy. First career goal for Pecorine, too, against the Chicago Blackhawks.
See, he's such a veteran, been in the league so long. I was going to guess the Quebec Nordiques against Patty Roy, but that would have been wrong.
Been a heck of a guess on that point. First career win, Little did we know, just a few years later, first career goal for Pecorine against the Chicago Blackhawks as well. When we come back, we will get into the Titans. Mini camp is underway today on the field. What are the biggest questions for the Titans heading into this mini camp this week? We'll talk about that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee at 615 Day at Fordyce Center in Bellevue, presented by Social Furniture, benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. Come on out. We'll be out here from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. all day long here on ESPN 102.5 The Game at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. Titans minicamp getting underway this week as well. And on the field today for the Titans, what are the biggest questions heading into minicamp for the Titans as you look at the offense coming in, new pieces on defense as well? Joe, as you head out to minicamp today at St. Thomas Sports Park, what are a couple of things that you're looking for? What are the biggest questions in your mind heading into minicamp this week for the Titans?
Well, certainly, you know, the Julio mania. Julio Hoopla.
You keep trying. And
I
it
know.
Just keeps,
Julio Palooza.
It keeps sinking.
We've eliminated Julio Palooza. That will continue. So probably going to watch a lot of Julio Jones, take some video of Julio Jones. But A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, they all going to be out there. Yeah. You get to see the offense working in tandem. Get to see which corners get to enjoy that on the other side. You know, certainly some of the position. What are the position, you know, battles that might get a little bit of a hint today? Very early. Let's make it clear. Mini camp. You know, we're still 6 weeks from camp.
You could draw actual conclusions today. Whatever they tried out there today is what is going to be what they're rolling with.
That's what it is. Yeah. Right tackle is an obvious one. You know, Dylan Ray Duns comes in, second round pick. Kendall Lamb. That's one. Certainly just the corner makeup out there. We know Caleb Farley won't be out there. We know Bud Dupree won't be out there. You know, how's it looking at outside linebacker other than Landry? Those are some of the things. You know, and the kicker situation too. I mean, we probably don't talk about it enough. I mean, I try not to talk about kickers all that much, but the Titans have made it, so you got to talk about kickers, you know, and they've got a big question there. And so I wonder if they will do any of the sort of pressure stuff with the kickers that they do in camp that helps kind of shape the competition. Hallbill.
Maybe John Robinson heads
McCann
over there
and
just starts heckling them a little bit.
That's true.
Just starts yelling at them.
We'll spit a little dip juice their way.
Maybe so. Maybe that's the route he takes. In all seriousness, like Ben pointed this out earlier on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, you would hate for you to have all these pieces offensively, and it comes down to a field goal in a wild card game, and then all of a sudden you're trotting a kicker out there that doesn't have a whole lot of experience. You're still confident that Steven Goskowski ultimately ends up being the guy.
Well, I don't know if I'm confident, but right now if you say, okay, fill this in, who is the kicker for the Titans in 2021, I'm going to write his name in. And I think it's one of those things that the conversations heat up around camp, and maybe he'll decide he doesn't want to play. But I think they have a pretty good feel for what McCann is. I think he's a good guy to have around, and he gives you some competition. But I think if McCann was the guy, McCann probably would have been the guy doinking in the field goal to win the AFC South, right? So is Hallbill, maybe? I mean, he was hurt last year, and his numbers went, you know, he had a little bit of inconsistency with Ohio State, and what was already a weird year, obviously, in college football. And he had an injury, and he, going into last year, was considered a real NFL prospect. So if he blows McCann away and is clearly, you know, maybe they found someone. At some point, you got to find someone. You got to find that long-term answer.
Yeah.
It's not always easy to do. You know, not many teams like to spend draft picks on kickers, but sometimes they do because it's like, you got to have someone for the long term. So it would be better for them if Hallbill is that guy and they don't have to worry about giving Goskowski the call, you know, but I'm just going to guess right now that that's what happens.
Well, let me ask you a serious question. Obviously, they were comfortable enough in that Texans game to go with Sam Sloan. I mean, they didn't go with Tucker McCann. And I want to say he was on the injury report at some point last year. So maybe he was hurt at the time. But you didn't go with Tucker McCann. Sam Sloan is the one kicking field goals at that point. I mean, he kicked you a field goal to win you the division. And he is a free agent. He's 23 years old. Is he not worth just giving a look at this point? Or I guess they see enough? They said they got their use out of Sam Sloan, and that's it.
Sorry, Sam. If you're going to kick a division-winning field goal, you don't doink it in. Now, if that was clean,
maybe so.
Then you'd still be here.
Well, Julio just took his number, so.
Well, that's another thing. Maybe they just don't want a big, like, Sloman Julio battle over the number. Yeah, you know, locker room issues. I mean, the problem with – look, what matters is what you do on the field and what we all see in those moments. The lights on, the pressure's on. You can't replicate that. But you still have to go by what you see consistently over and over again with every rep in practice. And apparently he wasn't good enough.
I guess not.
But, again –
tough crowd.
Well, and also, you know, obviously this whole position has just been such a problem. I mean, it's amazing that this team was an AFC championship team. They were a half away from going to the Super Bowl with one of the worst kicker situations we've seen in the NFL in recent years.
Yeah.
You don't want to keep playing with that fire, but they've made some mistakes, and now they're in this situation. I'm going to guess Gostkowski, but there's another thing to look at this week. You know, do either of these guys really stand out if that's stuff that they're going to put on display for us? And I'm not sure that it is.
Well, I'm interested to see this week if we're going to see A.J. Brown, Julio Jones on the field at the same time. And if we do, what do they look like together? Like, how do you go about trying to defend, even in drills, like how do you go about trying to defend Julio Jones, A.J. Brown in a team setting? If you're that Titans defense, you've got so many new pieces coming in on the secondary. Also, and you brought this up yesterday too, and I think it's a great point, like what does Janoris Jenkins look like? Can he run with these guys? I mean, he's 33 years old at this point. He's played well in recent years. I mean, he's been a good player. We know, though, at that position, that could start to turn on you at any time. By the way, Jonathan Joseph announcing his retirement the other day. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah. The Titans are just forcing all kinds of corners to get out of football.
Well, you're hoping that Janoris Jenkins is not the next one. Like, I'm interested
Kevin Johnson
to see
just retired.
What he looks like. Like, can Janoris Jenkins still run at a level good enough to keep up and to not get burned in the secondary? You're going to be it's a pretty good test going up against A.J. Brown and Julio Jones.
Yeah. Well, if he runs with Julio Jones, does that mean that Julio Jones at 32 is the one who's lost a step?
Maybe.
No, but Jenkins –
he looked pretty good last week.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Jenkins, that corner group, I mean, and it's obviously it's hard to even to have a great feel for it until you see Caleb Farley on the field,
yep,
which you expect to in camp, but we don't know that for sure. But Molden being back out there is a good thing. I think he's going to be, you know, a nice pick for them, and I think he's going to be an important player in that secondary. And Fulton is just – it's such an important year for him. I mean, I kind of thought, like, on the defense, yeah, to prove it, guys, we talked about yesterday, obviously Rashawn Evans and Byer, but to me the two really big, veterans, non-rookies who are just going to be so important in telling the story of this defense would be Bud Dupree and Christian Fulton.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Tyler on the text line. Bringing up that Sloman kick just made my heart start racing again. Tyler, we apologize. Not want to make your heart start racing here on the program.
But at least it's a good memory of your heart racing, and then the outcome
excitement
is what you want it to be, right?
Ben on the text line, can Brett Kern kick field goals good enough? I mean, he's the best player in the league.
Big leg? And think of the faking possibilities out of that.
I don't know. I mean, look. If you've been a Titans fan long enough, you've seen this happen before, where Craig Hendrick was your punter, and then when Joe Nedney got hurt, Craig Hendrick was also your field goal kicker. He actually did a pretty good job. So we've seen it happen before. I don't know how well Brett Kern can kick or not kick field goals. My assumption would be, like, if they were really in a pinch, he could probably try to do it. But that's probably not the best route if you're the Titans.
Probably not in the plans. He's got a pass. He's got a run. He's got a punt. crack jokes.
Yeah.
He's got a lot on his plate.
Caleb on the text line says, call my shot Tuesday, Titans to the championship. There's a lot of love for the Titans to the Super Bowl. We've had like five people on the text line this week so far predict the Titans going to the Super Bowl.
Hey, on the whole, like, last week and all the buzz and excitement.
Yeah.
So on the home front, you know, we've talked about Brandon asking for the jersey. Now he's asking, can we get season tickets?
Ooh. Maybe this is a breakthrough.
Yeah, it's a breakthrough, but I'm like,
it's just costing you money over and over again.
I was like, well, I'll look into it, Brandon.
I got season tickets.
So there you go.
You did.
So you've bought them since Julio, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Porth, are you going to take Brennan?
No.
He's a well-behaved child.
Yeah, I hear that. Everything that you talk about with Brennan reflects that.
Yeah.
Now I feel, am I a jerk? Am I like ripping my family?
No, he's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, 13-year-olds are 13-year-olds sometimes.
Exactly.
We were all there one day.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we'll continue.
Some
of us. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And also ask the question, what do we think of the right tackle position? How important is it for Dylan Raidunce to start at right tackle? We'll get to that coming up next as well. This hour presented by Music City Test Kitchen. Music City Test Kitchen is Nashville's newest nonprofit organization, providing culinary arts education to the youth and inspiring culinary professionals in Music City. To learn more or to get involved with Music City Test Kitchen, contact Caleb at 319-561-0140. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, hanging out live today at Fordyce Center in Bellevue for 615 Day, presented by Social Furniture here today. Going to be out here all day long. Lots of stuff going on. A parking lot party getting underway at 10 o'clock. That'll be going underway until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Public skate from 3 to 4 p.m., $10 a person. All proceeds benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. If you'd like to donate to the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee, text FUTURE to 707070. That's FUTURE to 707070 to do that. Got some great silent auction items as well, including Pecorine, Philip Forsberg signed jerseys, a Predators team signed stick, Titans photos, Mookie Betts baseball that's been signed as well. All kinds of great stuff on the silent auction items list as well. Text PREDS to 76278 to bid on those silent auction items. Joe, right now having a discussion on the Tennessee Titans, looking ahead to minicamp coming up this week. How important is it for Dylan Raidunce to start at right tackle at some point? I'm not saying that it's got to be week one. You've let Dennis Kelly go. You went out and got Kendall Lamb in the offseason to come in, and we thought kind of fill that void, and then you draft Dylan Raidunce in the second round. Like, to me, I still look at a second-round pick. At some point, they need to come in this year and be a factor or be a starter. I think in this case, I think it's certainly fair to expect Dylan Raidunce to come in at some point and be a starter, and hopefully some point pretty soon out of the gate. What are kind of your expectations, if you're a Titans fan, for Dylan Raidunce heading into this year?
Well, I think it would be huge, and it's a high pick that you spent to get Dylan Raidunce. And look, at this point, if he's not the starter, then it's likely Kendall Lamb. And, you know, Kendall Lamb is a career backup. I mean, he's a guy who's been a depth tackle in this league. He's had some starts. He's a solid player. But if he is your starter, then I think you could pretty safely say that you have downgraded. Now, there's always going to be growing pains with a rookie, and you know, there's the whole North Dakota State transferring to the NFL thing, but there's plenty of guys who have come from, you know, FCS programs or smaller level programs who are great in the NFL. Does that make it a little bit longer of an adjustment? I guess that's possible. But again, this is a guy with NFL ability. He went in the second round. And if you can get him in, think about like Nate Davis in his first year. Nate Davis, third round pick out of Charlotte. Early on in that rookie year, it was not pretty.
No.
It was not pretty at all.
Was it the Jacksonville game?
Well, so they had Jameel Douglas.
Yeah.
I believe, was mainly the guy who was, yeah, you know, Calais Campbell was just having an absolute field day. And they went with the rookie, and there were some growing pains, certainly. But you know what? By the end of that year, as they go into the playoffs, he was really good. He and Conklin together were really good on the right side. And now you look at Nate Davis. That's obviously the type. I mean, that's the type of thing you want to happen with Dylan Radunz. Like you said, like if he's not the opening day starter, then it's not like it's some disastrous thing. But you want him to be close and in there and competing, and at some point taking over the job, because that's why you spend a pick like that. And let's face it, these guys just spent a first-round pick on a right tackle. It yeah. didn't exactly work out well. So, like you – this is not like the coaching staff doesn't think about stuff like this, but from the fan base, it's like, can you guys pick a right tackle?
That's my thing. Like
you guys have drafted a lot of right tackles.
That's what it boils back to with me. Like if you spend a first round pick 1 year on a right tackle, obviously that didn't work out. If it doesn't work out this year with your second rounder, I mean, even if he's a decent player, if he's not a starter, like you can't find a starter and right tackle through the draft through the first two rounds of the draft. I mean, Titans fans. I think they've got every right to be upset about that if it didn't work out with Dylan Radunz. Now, you know, Titans assistant coaches spoke yesterday, and Keith Carter was very complimentary of Dylan Radunz and the job that he's done so far. So, I mean, it sounds like he's doing all the right things and that he is putting in the time, putting in the effort to be ready to play at some point this year for the Titans. So, look, I don't know if this is going to be an issue or not. I think it boils down to my biggest concern for them was, all right, going from North Dakota State to the NFL, that's a pretty big jump. Are you ready to make that jump? Some people are. Some people, it takes a while to make that jump. I'm interested to see how quickly he can do it and whether or not he's a factor even early on in the season to start at right tackle.
Yeah, and I think this week will help a little bit. It's still mini camp versus camp. There's still a pretty big difference. But yep. Get a little bit of a sense this week. And look, if he does work out and he's able to, you know, to move in there and be your starter, well, then, and he's good, then that's two out of three on right tackle high picks for John Robinson. It's a lot. It's still a lot
yeah.
of right tackle high picks in six drafts, but it's two out of three. Two out of three ain't bad.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Heidi from Dixon texting in, as long as Dylan – Rapunzel, she says. I'm going to go that's an autocorrect issue there. So we're going to go Dylan Radunz plays more than four victory formation snaps. John Robinson will get a raise and an extension. Kidding, of course, but he better win Rookie of the Year.
Oh, geez, Rookie of the Year. Wow. You think that was an autocorrect? I think Heidi Dylan actually
Rapunzel?
Meant to write Dylan Rapunzel.
I hope so.
I don't Heidi, know. Go listen to some Food Fighters, Heidi.
What do you think about Rookie of the Year being the bar? For Dylan Radunz here.
There's a lot of right tackles who win Rookie of the Year, so
yes.
it's only natural to
he
expect
right
this.
In there. Oh, man. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keith texting in for another nickname idea for Julio Hoopla.
Okay.
Bonarulio is coming from Keith.
Oh, Keith. Keith Bonarulio.
Keith is a pro. I mean, it's almost that time of year. Bonarulio.
I love it. I love it. I will hope to never say it again, but I still love it, Keith.
Ron, on the text line. Fourth was.
Sorry, I just looked. No offensive tackle has ever won the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
An absolute travesty.
Radunz would be
it's
first.
About time.
It's about time to
it's
happen.
It's about time it happened.
That's right. Ron, on the text line. With Evans needing to show improvements this year, how do you guys feel about the linebacker group? Do you feel good about the group, or do you need to make a major upgrade if you're the Titans?
Major upgrade when? He's talking about down the road? Is that how you take that?
Take it however you want it.
I mean,
it's not going to happen right now.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, look, I mean, the inside line, I'll tell you this. I feel pretty good about the depth. I feel about as good in terms of depth at that position as most.
Agreed.
I mean, you know, Rashawn Evans, big year for him, no doubt. Wasn't good enough last year. Got a lot of talent. And I think he's gonna be very motivated to have a good year. Jayon Brown, getting him back, probably don't talk about that enough. Big, big deal. Big loss to that defense when he got hurt on a sort of questionable, you know, late in the play, hit at Baltimore. He's just a guy who makes plays. He has a knack for making plays. And you think about it with Jayon Brown, like we never talk about him. He's a big deal to have this year. You drafted Monty Rice. I'm not sure you should have drafted Monty Rice where you drafted Monty Rice, but you did. And I will say that he looks all right out there right now. It's another very interesting week for him. And then you got David Long.
Yeah.
I mean, so you've got competition, which is always good. If you have legitimate competition, that always matters. It makes a difference in how players prepare and how much time they put in. Everything. Competition is coach's best friend. It's why I think DeShone Kizer is a good thing in at quarterback, that he and Logan Woodside can battle. But, yeah, I don't know if they're going to have two great players out there at inside linebacker, but they've got options, and that's not true of every position on any of these teams in this league.
Jack on the text line says, "Hey, Joe, look into the Fireball Fast Pass, $300 per pass, and you get a ticket to every game, just a different seat each time in the 300s. So there's some season ticket advice for you for the Titans.
Fireball Bennett. Fast Pass?
Does this
mean you have to sit with Jared?
Maybe so. Would you pay $300 to sit with Jared?
I might pay $300
to
make Jared and Brennan sit next to each other.
You'll kind of be sitting with him for free, though, right? I mean, you're going to be in the press box.
He doesn't go in the press box?
Nah. Okay.
No, Jared has his own season tickets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's out there. He probably has like 50-yard line front row seats.
Oh, okay.
Jared. Fancy Jared.
Well, never mind.
But, yeah.
No $300 to sit with Jared?
No, thank you for the tip, though. But in all seriousness, thank you for the tip. I will say that, if a child would like to be proactive in doing chores and would like to speak respectfully to adults and would like to put the phone away when told to put the phone away, then the child may be rewarded.
Maybe so. Let's see what happens.
No, not naming any names. I'm just saying in general.
Let's see what happens. On that front, when we come back, an interesting story in the NFL revolving Andy Reid and a running back of his, I guess a former running back at this point.
A guy I know very well.
A guy that you know very well. We'll get to that coming up next. This hour presented by Music City Test Kitchen. Music City Test Kitchen is Nashville's newest nonprofit organization providing culinary arts education to the youth and aspiring culinary professionals in Music City. To learn more or to get involved with Music City Test Kitchen, contact Caleb at 319-561-0140. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Elijah, how we doing?
Oh, we're doing. No, now that I'm no longer sitting in traffic, I am A-okay.
There you go. Elijah stepping in for Ryan Porth. Ryan Porth heading down to 615 Day here at Ford Eye Center in Bellevue. That's where we are. We'll be out here all day long until 6 p.m. tonight. So all three of our shows will be here today. Robbie and Rex Road, Darren Donick and Chase, Stillman and Company as well. Come on out to Ford Eye Center in Bellevue. It's going to be a great time today. We got lots of different activities going on today. Also raising money for Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee as well. So head on out to Ford Eye Center in Bellevue, partnering with the Nashville Predators. 615 Day is presented by Social Furniture. Joe, an interesting story going on right now in the NFL with former Kansas City Chiefs running back Le'Veon Bell and Andy Reid. And basically, this all stems from Le'Veon Bell saying he would retire before playing with Andy Reid again. And apparently, the role that Le'Veon Bell had and the way he was used in Andy Reid's offense, and according to Bell, some of the things that Andy Reid said to him, did not sit well with Le'Veon Bell, and saying that he would rather retire than play with Andy Reid. Now, we know Andy Reid has been around the NFL for a long time. Generally speaking, I think the reaction to Andy Reid has been pretty positive. I've not seen very many players come out and speak that heavily against Andy Reid now. And I had this conversation yesterday with a buddy of mine that was talking about this. Like, you're not going to be in a work environment, and you're not going to be a coach in the NFL and be universally beloved. Like, there are some people that are just not going to like you. But some pretty strong words from Le'Veon Bell there. Le'Veon Bell coming out a couple of days ago and tweeting, quote, "I said what I said, and I don't regret it at all. For those who have a personal problem with me because of what I said, that's fine. You have your right. Just understand I also have my right for how I feel about my personal problem with the dude because of what he said to me." So what do you think of all this between Le'Veon Bell and Andy Reid. And what do you think of Le'Veon Bell kind of taking this public and saying he'd rather retire than play again for Andy Reid?
Right. So, and this was, I think, in just like a, what, an Instagram or Twitter like conversation, right, with somebody?
Yep.
Like, said it to a fan that I'd.
Quote, I'd never play for Andy Reid again. I'd retire first, was the quote.
And what exactly did Andy Reid say?
We don't know this. Yeah, we don't know.
And I'm sure Andy Reid's not going to like start like training camp with guys. Let me tell you what I told Le'Veon.
I'm assuming
we have other backs. I mean, the bottom line is,
you're not that good anymore.
Look. Le'Veon Bell, guy covered in college, has been great to see his career, and he was a few years ago a heck of a weapon. I thought what he did in terms of getting himself out of the Steelers contract. Hey, I mean, it's stuff that happens in the NBA. He bet on himself. It hasn't worked out. He's just another player now. I mean, that's just the reality. You can't convince me that Andy Reid told him anything that was like personal or, you know, anything beyond just being real about what he is as a player right now.
Yep.
Right now, he's a guy trying to stay in the league. And that's how fast it happens, especially at that position. But that's how fast it happens in general. He's just another guy now. So, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, so he sort of apologized but didn't. And Chiefs fans and players are all angry about it. And, you know, I mean, it's not like he said Andy Reid is – a terrible person. He just said he'd never play for him again.
Yeah.
So I guess I want to play for someone who would stupidly play me more than I should be played.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you watch Le'Veon Bell, even after he signed. I mean, when he signed with the Jets, it was a pretty significant downturn from his time at Pittsburgh. Now,
terrible team.
It's also the Jets.
Yeah.
So you thought, okay, if he ends up with Kansas City, what could that look like? I remember when they made the move to bring in Le'Veon Bell. You already had Clyde Edwards-Helaire there as well, and I was like, my goodness, this offense just got even better at running back. You've got kind of a two-headed monster there in the backfield. And
He looked okay at times.
He was okay at times, but largely he was just not very good in Kansas City. And the more the season went on, the fewer carries that he got as they came down the stretch there. So I think it's pretty clear what Andy Reid thought. They made the move to go get Le'Veon Bell because they thought he could come in and help. And when your role starts to decrease coming down the stretch, I think Andy Reid's thoughts are pretty clear. He's just not the same player anymore. They were talking on ESPN yesterday about this story and talked about how, you know, we talk about the Bill Belichick coaching disciple tree all the time. Well, Andy Reid's got a pretty large coaching disciple tree as well. And ESPN guys were talking about how this hurts Le'Veon Bell because Andy Reid's got a pretty good reputation around the league. And if you can't get along with Andy Reid, maybe that affects the way you get along with other coaches and other staffs around league. Do you buy anything into that whatsoever? I thought that was a little bit overblown. Like, if a team thinks you can come in and Le'Veon Bell can help you, they're going to sign Le'Veon Bell. If they don't, they're not going to.
I mean, we could spend a whole show on all the things guys have done a million times or said.
I was gonna say, this is really not that big a deal.
They find a spot because they're good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, no, this doesn't matter. I mean, but it does. I mean, look, I mean, I think Le'Veon, I don't know if he's been, you know, obviously a lot of guys in Pittsburgh rubbed the wrong way by how he handled that, right, including some of his teammates. So, I mean, that already sort of left him with a little bit of a tag of whatever you want to, you know, troublemaker, I don't know. But I don't think that this has any impact. The biggest problem for him is that he's diminished as a player, you know. I just don't see this being the reason someone would not take him. The reason they wouldn't take him is because, you know, what does he really do for you anymore?
Well, that just shows you how quickly it happens at this position in this league. I mean, he's 29 years old. I mean, you think back to 2017, he's a great player. Great player for the Steelers. He stood out the entire year in 2018, as you said, kind of getting out of the contract, betting on yourself at that point. Didn't go well. I mean, he was okay in 2019, I guess. Played 15 games, 789 yards, and then last year he just wasn't very good. I mean, he's 29 years old, and all of a sudden he might be. I mean, I'm sure he's probably going to end up somewhere as the season gets closer, but it looks like Le'Veon Bell's time in the NFL is drawing pretty close to an end here, and that's how quickly it can happen in this league.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess you could say, well, if it's between him and someone else for, like, to be, you know, the third back on a team, Does somebody look at this and say, eh, not worth the headache? I mean, I suppose, possibly. But again, this wasn't that big of a deal. He just, you know, he didn't appreciate. Look, players don't like being told that they're not that good anymore or good enough anymore or that someone else, this rookie's better than you or whatever the case may be. That, you know, they don't like it. He made his feelings known on it. I don't know. I mean, I would suspect he'd probably be in the league a couple more years. And, hey, maybe he can find a role where, you know, he can get the ball more. But he got the ball a ton in New York, and the production wasn't really there. Bad team. And then in the most explosive offense that we've ever seen, or right up there, he still just wasn't that effective last year. So it happens fast.
It does. Now, in other news in the NFL, here we are into mandatory mini camps, and Aaron Rodgers has not showed up for the Green Bay Packers. He is still sitting out. President Mark Murphy coming out the other day from the Packers, saying a lot of things. One of those things he said was, quote, Rodgers is a complicated fella, which, watching the Green Bay Packers as closely as I do, I would admit that. He is a very complicated fella at times. At what point, if you're the Packers, because they've remained steadfast on this, that they're not trading Aaron Rodgers, they want Aaron Rodgers to come back and be their quarterback, and that stance is not going to change. Minicamp is one thing. To me, though, you start to get into training camp and Aaron Rodgers isn't there, you might start to have a different conversation if you're the Packers. Like, at what point, if you're the Packers, does this move from, hey, we're not trading you, to maybe we ought to see what we can get for this guy, because it doesn't look like he's showing up to Green Bay Packers training camp?
I don't know. At what point for the Packers fan is it just too much to bear?
First game.
Okay.
Week one against the Saints.
Willing to go through camp and
– Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sometime in there.
Well, last week was a wild ride with Jordan Love. The first day on the field at OTAs, he was apparently awful. The second day, he was apparently incredible. And then the third day, he was somewhere in between.
Okay.
That's what you
get.
That's
probably about what he is, right?
Yeah. But that's probably not a very good winning formula for this Green Bay Packers team.
I mean,
what's the win-loss total difference? If you have Aaron Rodgers with the group they have in Green Bay, and if you don't, and Jordan Love is your starting quarterback. Like, if they have Aaron Rodgers, what are they? They're a, what, 12-5, 13-4 team, somewhere
yep.
around there?
Yep.
If they don't, where are they?
I think it might be like a 3-win difference.
I think it may be more than that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Could, maybe.
But I think it's Aaron Rodgers' entire point of this conversation. I've been pretty important to this group.
Yeah.
But I think I think they could go from a 13-win team to 7-8 wins. I really do. It's a pretty big deal.
Dan Campbell just sitting there.
Rubbing those hands together.
Here we go. Jared Goff and Dan Campbell taking over the North.
That's right. Could be headed your way coming up next. Sitting out here today at Fordyce Center in Bellevue, 615 Day, presented by Social Furniture. This hour presented by Music City Test Kitchen. Music City Test Kitchen is Nashville's newest nonprofit organization, providing culinary arts education to the youth and aspiring culinary professionals in Music City. To learn more or to get involved with Music City Test Kitchen, contact Caleb at 319-561-0140. When we come back, we'll get back into the Tennessee Titans and the conversation surrounding Zach Ertz. Should the Titans go even more all-in on offense? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.